years ago now. Maybe the greatest compliment ever given to me. And I believe that all of us, we like to receive compliments. Maybe I'm not the only one. If you like to receive a compliment, just wave your hand at me. And the rest of you, I'm preaching about repentance here in a little bit, and you can come up and pray. But maybe the greatest compliment ever given to me came to me from my mother. And it was in the wee hours of the first morning of my senior year of high school. It was about 4 a.m. I looked at the clock, and you never know what's going to stick in your mind and why. But around 4 a.m. in the morning, about 3 hours earlier than normal, when we would wake up to get to school, my bedroom was in the basement. My mother was standing at the top of the stairs going up into the main part of the house. It was about 4 a.m. when I was roused from sleep with my mother's voice. "Jeremy, I need you. I need you to come and help me." And I stepped to the bottom of the stairs. I said, "Mom, is everything okay?" And she asked me to come upstairs to help with my father, who was a type 1 diabetic. And because of another situation in his life, there was a medical crisis. He was sitting in the living room. It was indeed a medical crisis. I made my way upstairs, got dressed quickly, made my way upstairs. And I asked her, "Mom, what do you need me to do?" She said, "I'm getting your dad ready to go to the hospital." This was the greatest compliment that was ever paid to me. She said, "I'm getting your father ready to go to the hospital. While I do these things to take care of him, I need you to kneel down beside him at the couch, and I need you to pray." I cannot think of a higher compliment that could be paid to a Christian man than for someone to say, "I need you to pray. I am counting on your voice to be lifted up and get a hold of God." I'm telling you today, I'm giving you that same compliment. Men, what needs to happen? Pay you the same compliment. Men, we need to lift our voice right now and pray. Now, we're going to choose to accommodate one of two things. We will either choose to accommodate our flesh, or we'll choose to accommodate the Holy Ghost. Let's try that again. But this time, don't accommodate your flesh. Accommodate the Spirit. Men, could we lift our voice in prayer? Come on, great men of God, lift your voice in prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Hear me for just a moment before you're seated. I'll let you sit down in just a second. I'm going to tell you what normally happens when it comes to accommodating my flesh or accommodating the Spirit. This is where the battle normally shows up, at least this way, because there's at least two ways that we have to talk about the carnal man. We can talk about the carnal man in a natural sense, and we can talk about the carnal man in a spiritually carnal sense. And men that have the Holy Ghost, the way we normally have to fight our flesh when we pray, this is normally how it happens. And we've got to decide to accommodate our flesh or accommodate the Spirit. But the man of God will say, "Raise your hands." And this is what will normally happen. I'll get my hands up like this, and I can keep my hands like this for about 10 or 15 seconds. And then my shoulders start going, "Boy, we've been up here for a while." Somebody preach with me right here. Or we'll be standing and I'll think, "Oh my goodness, we've been standing for 2 minutes." But I'm going to tell you, there is effort that is attached to praying and praying fervently. There is effort that is attached to a breakthrough in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to ask you again. I know that we just prayed, but I wonder if you can use some effort this time. Can you use some effort to go past where we're at? Come on, with your voice, men, with your physical man, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, let's use our physical man and let's put forth some effort with a hand clap and with our voices lifted again. Come on, that's it. Come on, great men of God. Hallelujah. 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 You can be seated in Jesus' name. Now, I have looked around this room, and there are men that are here that are veterans of life and veterans of church. And I have looked around. I see on the front row, there are some with not many years behind them at all. Thank God that we're bringing them young and old to men's conference. And I'm preaching, I don't care if you're 7 or 77. I'm preaching to you today, young men, married men, single men, prayer is the chief Christian occupation. Let me bring that home to men's conference. Prayer is the thing that men ought to be doing more than they do anything else. Prayer ought to define our day. Prayer ought to define our ministry. Prayer ought to define our worship. It ought to define our life. You believe what we're preaching? You can be seated in Jesus' name. Prayer is the chief Christian occupation. Why do we say that the chief Christian occupation is prayer? Well, there are many places in Scripture that point toward prayer as the chief Christian occupation of God's people. We read words like this, pray without ceasing. Or as in our text, when Jesus said that men ought, how did he say it? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That word faint there means don't stumble. Pray and don't get tripped up about anything. Pray and don't faint away. Pray and don't fade. On other occasions, we read of Daniel, where the Bible says that 3 times per day, opening his window, he opened his window and turned toward Jerusalem to pray. It says similar of David, the king of Israel. David would talk about in the Psalms, morning, noon, and night, praying at those times of the day. In fact, written by David, at least over 70 of them written by David, there were 150 individual Psalms. The book of Psalms, I think that it is at least only partially right that we call the book of Psalms the songbook of the Bible. The truth of the matter is the book of Psalms is the prayer book of the Bible. This is not things just to be sung. These are things to be prayed. I said this is a part of the national consciousness of Israel, and it's supposed to be a part of the general consciousness of the people of God, that the largest book in the Bible is a book of prayer. Come on, somebody preach with me on Friday afternoon. Saturday. The largest book of the Bible is a book on prayer. You got just a minute for me to peel into that for just a second? This is what happens when, this is what's supposed to happen when fear comes into your home. The book of prayer is supposed to produce something. In particular, what comes to my mind, if fear or anxiety begins to attack, Psalm 27 should come to your mind. This is a prayer. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. That's what's supposed to come to your consciousness is prayer. Oh, let's clap our hands to him. You can be seated. Prayer is the chief Christian occupation. Why do we say that? Because Jesus himself would purge the temple on a couple of occasions and would say, my Father's house shall be called a house of. I think it's completely appropriate for us to call church a house of worship. I think it's completely appropriate for us to call church the house of praise. But I want to tell you what the Lord called the church, the temple, the place where Israel went to church. Yes, it's appropriate to call it a house of worship. Yes, it's appropriate to call it a house of praise and many other things. But when the Lord purged that temple, he said, my Father's house shall be called a house of. Somebody preach it with me. My Father's house shall be called a house of. Now let me make this point. The Word of God tells us what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Most High? That means your body is supposed to be a house of. Come on, let's clap our hands to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. making an immediate connection from Scripture to our lives directly. I would like to say that we as the people of God are our most powerful when we are praying. I thank God. My beautiful wife is waiting for me in North Carolina. She's there doing music and speaking to the choir and the music team. I'm going home to my wife tonight. I'm going to tell you, that's not just my wife that I think is beautiful. That's one of the best praying Christians that I know. It's a testimony. I know this is men's conference, and I know I'm preaching about a woman. Let this stir something on the inside of you. My children know where my wife prays. My wife prays in the closet. I can't pray in the closet. If I need to turn around when I'm in the closet, I got to step outside and turn around and step back in. Closet's too little. But my wife can curl up into on top of her knees and pray in the closet. All three of my children have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody needs to hear me preach today. All three of my children have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. I was there when Noah received the gift of the Holy Ghost. He was about right here behind the pulpit where I was privileged to pastor. He was about right here. And I remember watching. I'd laid my hands on him, and there were several men, young and old, around him. And I remember watching the instant that he went from speaking in other tongues, from speaking in English to speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. And I've had the privilege of baptizing all three of my children in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. I was not there when John David got the gift of the Holy Ghost. I was not there when Grace Ann got the gift of the Holy Ghost. Mom, I was out preaching on both occasions, and my wife prayed John David and Grace Ann through to the gift of the Holy Ghost in the prayer closet at home. I'm telling you, if you and I will be involved in the chief Christian occupation, God will answer our prayer. God will open up a great door of revival if you and I are involved in the chief Christian occupation. Do you feel the Holy Ghost in this room right now? Let me implore you, don't accommodate your flesh right now. Accommodate the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, some of you lift your voice right now. Somebody lift your voice right now. Somebody lift your voice right now. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I would like to say again that we as the people of God, men of God, are our most powerful when we are praying. Let me speak to some young man who may feel the hand of God upon him. A man of God is most powerful when he is praying. Let me speak to someone else in this room who feels like there's some sort of destiny on their life. A man who can get down on his knees or lay on his face in an altar or in a prayer closet somewhere is the most powerful that they can possibly be. You are your most powerful when you are crying out to God. Let me expand my preaching today. The best fathers are praying fathers. The best employees are praying employees. The best employers are praying employers. Come on, anybody feel what's going on in this room right now? The best saints are praying saints. The best men of God are praying men of God. You can be seated. I know this is simple preaching right now, but we need more prayer and not less. Let me say that again. We need more prayer and not less. Come on, I hope somebody from the middle of the section, middle of these chairs back here, let me say it again and let your spirit connect with mine today. We need more praying and not less. We need more men of God praying and crying out to God. We need more effectual, fervent prayer. The more we pray, the stronger our spirit. The less we pray, the stronger our flesh. The more we pray, the more powerful our ministry. The less we pray, the less our ministry even exists. Why would I preach this type of sermon this afternoon? Well, because we need a church of spiritually capable people. I said we need a church of spiritually capable people. I thank God that you know how to come. I thank God for every function that you may have in your church. You may be an usher. You may be security. You may be a musician. You may be a service leader. You may be a preacher. But I'm going to tell you, the chief Christian occupation isn't to be an usher. It isn't to be security or a preacher. Or the chief Christian occupation is that we would pray and cry out to heaven. And we need spiritually capable people. More than I need somebody to take up the offering, I need somebody that can get a word from heaven. More than I need somebody that knows what to do in this situation or that, I need somebody that can hear from God, that can get a hold of God. Oh, if you feel it in this room right now, reach out to him. If you feel it in this room right now, reach out to him. Come on, some of you, the Holy Ghost is on you. You need to pray with the Holy Ghost. You need to let the Holy Ghost give you utterance today. Come on, men of the Northwest. Come on, men of the Northwest. Let the Holy Ghost pray through you. This is how the voice of God breaks into the earth. This is how the voice of God breaks into the universe. Come on. Come on. Some of you, it's been a long time since you've had a breakthrough where you prayed in the Holy Ghost. Come on, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to be seated again, but just right there. You don't have to, the Holy Ghost is in here. You don't have to push. Just step into it right now. Just step into it right now. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated in Jesus' name. We need a church full of spiritually capable people. I'm not interested in having a church of people come just to listen to me preach. I need miracles, signs, and wonders. We want the operation of spiritual gifts. That's more than just the preacher. That ended because we're preaching at a men's conference. That's men who sit in the pew that can get that can find the direction of the Holy Ghost along with the man of God and speak what thus saith the Lord. I'm not talking about being goofy. I'm not talking about operating out from underneath authority. But I'm telling you, that authority that is on that same authority that's on your man of God can be extended to you if you'll get in alignment and if you'll pray. I said, if you'll pray, God can use you. God can speak through you. We need a church of spiritually capable people. I mentioned my mother earlier in our preaching. One of the things that I'm so glad to testify about my mother is that she was a praying woman. My father was too. There's other examples I'll give about him. But I'm so glad to testify that my mother was a praying woman. And by that, I don't mean that my mother said prayer words. I mean that she prayed. In light of what we read in James about Elias or Elijah, she prayed. She prayed until she prayed. Most days, she would come to the church. I taught a Bible doctrines class beginning at 8 a.m., 4 days a week, excuse me. And my mother would make her way to the church. She began praying at 8:30. And she would walk through my classroom and love on those kids on her way to prayer. And from about 8:30 till about 10 or 10:30, almost 2 hours of prayer was a regular thing for her. My prayer time is normally about an hour. I need every word. I need every minute of the time that I spend in prayer. 2 hours is not my normal time of prayer, but I've done it a lot. I don't know why I'm saying that. Maybe to stretch somebody in this room because 30 minutes is hard. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to use some effort. I'm not here. I'm not picking on anybody. I love you. I think you're fabulous. I think you're great and you're revival men. But it's time to go past where we're at. I said it's time to go past where we're at. You can be seated. My mother would pray for about 2 hours every day. That was a regular thing for her. And if I ever needed church to go from this level to this level, if I ever needed the intensity of the service to be dialed up, I could call my mother to the platform and give her the microphone and ask her to pray over the church. And it never failed. Something high and holy would begin to take place in that room. Saints of God, especially the women that prayed with my mother often, would begin to unite their voice in prayer. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more powerful. I thank God for all of the singing that we have. Don't get me wrong, but there is nothing more powerful than an entire church to lift their voice in the pew from the front to the back and pray. Maybe that didn't stir you. Let me say it again with a little more heat, with a little more fervency. There is nothing that is more powerful than for men of God and women of God to lift their voice united in prayer. Be seated. I thank God for all of our good singing. How many are thankful for the good singing that we've had even in this conference? But singing, that's a part of what we do. It's not the chief Christian occupation. I'm preaching my testimony because I know it better than anybody's. There's no boastfulness in this. In fact, you can preach yours while I'm preaching mine. But I remember being 15 and 16 and 17 years old in high school and in history class. Because of the way I was raised in history class, we could be sitting there doing the end class, doing the paperwork part of class. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost would begin to stir, and you didn't know what to do. So I remember calling Mr. Sanders, was our high school history. Mr. Sanders, can I please be excused to go to the restroom? Mr. Wilbanks, is it an emergency? I hope this wasn't lying. Yes, sir. It's an emergency. And making my way to the restroom and closing the stall door and locking it and being as quiet and being as careful as I could. But because the Holy Ghost was on me, lifting my voice in there. Now, I'm not talking about being obnoxious, but lifting my voice and saying, oh, God, here I am. And right there in that high school restroom, the Holy Ghost come washing in. And you walk back to class with your face all awash with tear streaks. And you're a little bit blotchy. But I'm going to tell you something. This is how God fashions spiritually capable people. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to stir the heart of some young man that the Holy Ghost would put his hand on their life. And this is how it begins. Brother, this is how it begins. It begins with the chief Christian occupation. Come on, if you feel it stirring in your chest right now, if you feel the Holy Ghost stirring you right now, you don't have to stand. Just right there where you're at, lift your voice all over this house. You can be seated. You can be seated. I did not mean to preach even this long. There's a certain type, hear me. There's a certain type of word. We read it in our text. There's effort that's attached to this. There's effort that's attached to this. For as soon as Zion travailed. Kichala. That's the Hebrew word. That's the foundational Hebrew word. Kichala. With effort. Because of effort. It began, that verse began with revival language. What? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in a day? Woo! Let me bring that into 26. What? You mean we had one revival and the church doubled? I thought I'd get a better amen in an apostolic men's conference than that right there. What? We had one revival and the church doubled? Shall a nation be born at once? What? We don't know. We don't know how in the world that church got started in Salmon, Idaho. What? Shall a nation be born at once? But as soon as Zion, the foundational word, Kihala, because of effort, as soon as Zion travailed. Let me kind of translate that a little bit better so we can pull it into what we're preaching about. As soon as Zion travailed, as soon as Zion prayed with effort. As soon as the men at Northwest Apostolic Men's Conference prayed with effort. As soon as there was effort that was attached. I don't know if I could pray that way. I don't know if I could pray that way. Because there's things that I'm battling. There are things in my human being that I'm battling. There's difficulties that I'm facing in my mind. And I'm a man. I have to fight with my eyes. I'm a man. I have to fight with my chemical makeup as a man. Come on. You know what I'm preaching about right here. We don't have to get down and dirty. You know what I'm preaching about. You don't understand. I don't know if I can pray that way. Well, I'm so thankful that you brought that up, because that's what James talked about when he talked about Elias or Elijah. He said Elijah was a man that had the same passions, that had the same feelings, that had to contend with the same things that we had to contend with. That Elias was a man of like passions such as we, but he prayed earnestly. That's where it said he prayed. It's a double use of the word prosuke, which is to pray. It means he didn't just say prayer words, but his spirit was engaged. There was some effort in his prayer. He prayed. I know this is one of those times where you're just listening to me while I'm preaching. But right now, let's take about 10 seconds. And with effort from your chest, from the pit of your being, could you pray? If you feel the Holy Ghost in here, let's clap our hands to him again.
Can I get another one of those?
Hallelujah, come on. Let's worship him right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost is touching us right now. The Holy Ghost is moving on us right now. We're going to another level right now. It's happening right now. Come on, great men of God. Come on, let me preach to something right there. You're not a failure. You're still here. You can be a great man of God. God's preaching to you as a great man today.
Can be seated. Now, why would we emphasize the effort words that are attached to prayer? Alwaysness. Why would we emphasize the effort words that are attached to prayer? Why would we emphasize that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because praying's easy, but it's kind of hard. Look at your neighbor and say, praying's easy, but it's kind of hard. Praying's easy, and it's kind of hard. That's why effort is key. Effort is key. Praying's easy. What do you mean? Well, this is what I mean. I can't think of anything in this world that is more fun, that is more pleasurable than praying in the Holy Ghost. Can I get a witness? I can't think of anything in this world that is more pleasurable than getting a hold of God and God getting a hold of you in a time of prayer. I wouldn't trade the best meal on the planet for 1 hour of prayer where it's me and God. I wouldn't take the muscliest muscle car for 1 hour spent in the presence of God talking with him. I wouldn't take a $100 bill or a $100 bills or a $1,100 bills. There is nothing like getting a hold of God. And I can't think of anything more pleasurable. I can't think of anything that I like more than prayer. And yet, I can't think of anything my flesh resists more than going to prayer. This is my notebook. Well, my notebook's up here. It's a little blue binder. That's my preaching notebook. Most sermons that I preach start in that notebook. I take that with me when I go to prayer. Because praying's easy, but it's kind of hard. It takes effort. Praying's easy, but it's kind of hard, and it takes effort. And you know why I take this to prayer with me? I got this weird ritual. I go in there. I don't have it on me right now because I flew on an airplane. But I got my pocket knife. I got my keys. I got my wallet. I got my glasses. I've got my notebook, my Bible. I go in there when it's just me in the auditorium. I take my shoes off. And it's just a deal. It's part of getting my mind ready to pray because God told Moses, take your shoes off. The ground you're standing on is holy. And it's just part of getting my mind right to pray. But I take this notebook in there with me, Brother Bertram. Pastor Bertram, I take this in there with me. And I lay it down right there. I got my Bible open. Normally I have it open to one of the Psalms because that's the prayer book. And I got my Bible open and I click my pen on and I lay it down right there. You know why I take that in there? Because praying's easy and praying's hard. And there's effort involved in this. You know why I take that notebook in there with me? Because God might speak to me. But even if he doesn't, my flesh is going to. I've thought that everybody go, oh yeah, I got that. Let me say that again. God might speak to me while I'm in there praying. But I'm going to tell you right now, my flesh is going to. And so I'm walking back and forth praying. And my flesh, I'm trying to get a hold of God. And my flesh will say, you know, the right front tire on your truck looked a little bit low when you got in this morning, and you need to go fix it. And you want to get up and go fix it. Or you'll be walking around praying, or you'll be kneeling down, and your flesh will say, you know, your wife needs you to go to the store and pick up a gallon of milk and some Clorox and some bacon. And you know what? I better go do that. She's going to be mad at me if I don't do that. And your flesh will make you get up. So I take that notebook in there. You know why? Because I tell my flesh, no, we're not going to do that right now. We're going to write that down. And when we get done, come on, somebody. You don't have to run the aisles right there, but you... I'm going to write that down because it takes effort. It takes effort to resist your flesh, to not accommodate your natural man, but to accommodate the Holy Ghost. It takes effort to say, no, there's nothing else that matters right now but getting a hold of God. Do you feel it right now? Do you feel it right now? Be seated. I'm going to tell you. Praying's easy. Everybody say praying's easy. But it's kind of hard. Yeah. Can I make another point with that before we move on? We've already blown our time limit. I'm 42 minutes into a 25-minute sermon. I'm gonna give you another example here. Preaching. Well, let me involve all of us. Coming to church is easier than praying. Preaching's easier than praying. Brother McDonald, preaching is easier than praying. See if you can make this same point with me here. I have never been preaching and forgot what I was doing. But I've been at least going. I've been praying and gotten so distracted by something that happened that had nothing to do with getting a hold of God. This is why it takes effort. Man, it takes focus. It takes fervency. It takes effort. There's revival just on the other side, but you got to be focused about it. Come on, did you bring any effort with you today? Did you bring any effort? Let's pray with some effort right now. Come on, let's pray with some effort right now. Is everybody okay? Can we go on? Are y'all done? All right, sit down for just a minute. I'm trying to hurry. I feel the Holy Ghost in here.
Listen, we've got to fight against the things that hinder our prayers. This is where effort comes in. Is this too simple preaching? We've got to fight against things that hinder our prayers. Let me stop for just a moment and say this. Fight against things that hinder your prayers. Listen, prayer helps you live right. Is that too simple a statement? Listen, if a child of God doesn't pray, this life becomes a difficult life to live. I can't explain the connection, but praying helps you pay your tithe. I can't explain. I don't know how this works totally, but praying, especially praying in other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance, helps you live holy. Praying in the Holy Ghost helps you live holy. Praying in the Spirit helps you have a teachable spirit. Listen, don't come to church all bowed up. We're not afraid of you. Ain't nobody in here scared of you. Calm down. There's men in here that could adjust your attitude by adjusting your jawline. Don't come in here all bowed up. Come in here with some humility. Come in here and get a hold of God. So praying helps you live right. Everybody say praying helps you live right. But make no mistake about it. Living right helps you pray right. You've seen this often enough. I've seen it. A person comes to the altar, and they've been living for God for 10 years, but for some reason, for the last 3 weeks, they haven't been able to lift their hands. Look, since we've just blown the time limits here, there's a young man in the prayer room. I was sitting there praying. By the way, don't you think you've slipped something over on the man of God? God will tell him. We may not all get all ooky spooky with it, but brother, we can read your mail if we need to. Got a little tight right there. I was sitting there in the prayer room, and there was a young man sitting across the way, good young man. I'm not talking about a bad young man. I'm talking about a good young man. And the Holy Ghost said, this is what's going on in his life. Okay. And he got up, and he was kind of walking because we had a single direction that the men in the prayer room walked so that it wasn't a bunch of confusion. And he came walking by, and I said, hey, I called him by his name. Brian, his name was not Brian. That's the name we're using right now. Brian, is your life pure in this way? And it was more artful than that. I didn't just bust him in the chops with it. Is your life pure in this way, this way, and this way? Oh, Pastor. He grabbed me by the arms, and he said, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry. And it was instant contrition. It was instant repentance. I said, okay, I want to tell you something. What I'd noticed is that in the altar, he couldn't lift his hands. In the prayer room, his head was down. He couldn't pray. Because praying helps you live right, but living right helps you pray right. And we've got to watch out for things that hinder our prayer. Your prayer, that means there needs to be shalom in the home before your prayers will work out right. Men praying with men praying without having their hair cut. Women praying with cut hair. You read about that. Those are coverings or uncoverings, depending on if you're a man or a woman, so that when we come into the presence of God, we're pleasing to Him. That's enough preaching. Praying right helps you live right, but living right helps you pray right. Okay, I got more to preach there. Everybody got it? So what do we mean when we say prayer? All of these things that hinder us, all of these things that distract us, and God doesn't want us distracted right now. This is some of the preaching we had at the beginning. God doesn't want us distracted right now because revival rides on our ability to pray and pray effectively. Revival, it rides on our ability to pray our way into the deep things of God and stay there for a little while. Revival counts on you, on men that can get a hold of God in prayer. Don't let it be said that only the preacher was praying. Don't let it be said that only the preacher spent an hour in prayer. Let it be said that every man in this house didn't just show up to say amen, but they've been praying before they got there. They've been praying in the prayer room before they got there. That's the chief Christian occupation of men. That's the chief Christian occupation of men of God. Ah, hallelujah. And there are things that require more prayer. I'm hurrying. There are things that require more than one prayer. Sometimes you have to pray more than once. I can't tell this in California, but I'm in Idaho. My sister had some cats that also had cats. Yeah. And if you like cats, I do too.
best with barbecue sauce on them. I'm just kidding. My sister had some cats, and it was in the wintertime in Alabama, and they crawled up in the engine of my car when I got home from work. And the next morning, I got up to go back to work, and I didn't know. Don't judge me right now. I didn't know that they were still in there. And when I turned the truck on, it named all the cats. It named them Tink and you know, those were the... This is a terrible story. I can't believe I've told it. We've had such a good time to this point. Hopefully this doesn't ruin it. And I discovered something. I discovered, we're talking about sometimes you have to pray more than once. This is an awful story. I'm sorry. So I discovered that cats do not have 9 lives. But you know what does have 9 lives? Your flesh! That means you got to pray on Monday about your flesh. You got to pray on Tuesday about your flesh. Wednesday, you got to pray about your flesh. Thursday, there's some things that takes more than one. You got to kill that thing more than once. That means you got to pray day by day. You got to be involved in the chief Christian occupation. Come on, let's clap our hands. Musicians, would you come? Please remain standing with me. How many feel the Holy Ghost in here right now? Listen, there are some people, Scripture talks about some people that got so good at praying that God had to tell them to stop it. God had to tell them to stop it. God had to tell Samuel, you stop praying for Saul. I'm done with Saul. It's an odd way to talk about it. Think about how good at praying Samuel was. That God's like, Samuel, stop talking to me about Saul. I'm done with him. Paul, I'm not going to remove that thorn from your flesh. I don't care how many times you pray about it. Think about how effective a prayer warrior Paul was to just keep walking into the presence of God and say, you know, do you mind working on that thorn that I've got in my flesh today? And finally God has to say, stop it. My grace is sufficient for you. There's people that were so good. Brother Mayo at the chief Christian occupation. There's men that were so good that God had to say, stop it. Stop praying about that. Do not talk to me about that again. That's how good. I'm telling you, you can get that good. Daniel, you've been praying for 21 days. And the angel showed up and said, Daniel, God heard you the first time. There's some spiritual warfare things that require more than one prayer. Daniel, God heard you the first time, but there was resistance. The prince of Persia resisted. There was some spiritual resistance. Hey, sometimes when your pastor's bumping up against something, what he doesn't need men to come up and give him $20. He needs men that'll go to the prayer room when he's not even in there and say, God, give my man of God wisdom. Give him the right words. God, give us a breakthrough. I've preached enough. I've got more. The Holy Ghost is in here right now. I'm not going to go another inch past what the Holy Ghost wants, but the Holy Ghost is calling for somebody. Listen, I've got at least another page. Let's not go any further. Let's not go further than what the Holy Ghost is doing right now. The Holy Ghost is calling on men to get involved in the chief Christian occupation. Are you willing? Men, are you willing right now? Come on, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to begin to pray. I want you to begin to make your way as you come. Pray as you come. I want you to make your way. Crowd your way to this front today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, when you come, you don't have to scream, but don't come quietly. Don't come quietly right now. Come with your voice lifted. Come with your spirit lifted. Some of you, the Holy Ghost is on you. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Some of you need to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. I'm going to ask the music to come way down. I want this room filled with the men of voices in prayer, with the voices of men in prayer. Music, just stay way down. Come on, men, all across this altar. Come on, let's let the roar of men in prayer. Let's let the roar of men in prayer fill this room. They'll play and sing again in just a minute. Come on, men, let's let the roar of men in prayer. Let's let it fill this room with some effort. Somebody with some fervor. Somebody with some passion. Come on, come on. I'm going to ask you to go just a little bit further. Sometimes a breakthrough means turning up the volume. Sometimes fervency means turning up the volume. Shabokatarabahai. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Idarada shakotarabahai. Shamakatokatarabahasha. Ikararabakashatarabahai. Come on, don't accommodate your flesh right now. Don't accommodate your flesh right now. Accommodate the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody accommodate the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, keep praying. I'm going to ask you to put your arm around your brother. Take him by the arm. Link up with him somehow, some way. Come on. I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to pray. Come on. Engage in the chief Christian occupation right now. Come on. Come on. Maybe this isn't for everybody, but somebody lift your voice right now. Somebody lift your voice right now. Come on. Come on, this is what's needed right now. This is what's needed right now. Come on, if you don't know what else to pray, pray with groanings that cannot be uttered. Come on, let it come out. Let it come out. Let it come out, men. Let it come out, men. Come on, the Holy Ghost is in here right now. Come on, our effort has brought us to this place in the Holy Ghost. Keep going. Keep going. Shalane kota. Yeah. Without ceasing, pray and then pray again. Cry out and then cry out again. Come on, pray and then turn up the intensity. Pray and turn up the fervency.
Yeah. Keep praying. Keep praying, but listen to me. I want our prayer to turn into a prayer of thankfulness right now. I want us to begin to thank God in advance for revival. I want us to begin to thank God in advance for answers to what we're praying about. Come on, men, can we pray with our voice? Let's pray thankfully with our voice right now. Come on, we'll continue praying, but just for the next moment or so, just begin to thank him for the way he's dealt with you. Begin to thank him for his mercy. Begin to thank him for his anointing, for his grace, for his power.
I'm done after this. I'm going to lay this microphone down after this. We're going to pray one more time. I didn't get to this. I preached too long as it was. Intercessor. Everybody say intercessor. Intercessor has been properly linked to people praying. It's a legal term, though. Someone who steps in between a thing or a person and judgment. An intercessor is someone who says, I see judgment coming, and I'm going to stand in the gap between judgment and the one who is going to be judged with men. It requires a change because men typically are creatures of judgment. If you break in my house, judgment shall fall. If you injure my wife, judgment shall fall. If you injure my children, my people, etc., judgment shall fall. It is a change that is required for men to be intercessors. Women intercess more naturally. It is a change that is required for men to intercede effectively. And that is to stand on behalf of those who are going to be judged and say, God, please show mercy. God, give them a door that they could come in. God, show grace. God, show compassion. I'm laying this microphone down now. This altar service is now yours again. I'm going to ask this group of men, wonderful, amazing, powerful men of God, to pray as intercessors for revival for your church. Make your prayer bigger than you. Make your prayer bigger than your family. Make your prayer bigger than your needs. Can we pray for revival? Can we intercede on behalf of revival in our cities? Men, right now, let's lift our voice in intercession.
Come on, can we lift our hands one more time all over this place? Can we thank the Lord for what we've heard? Can we thank the Lord for the burden of prayer? Come on, that's what prayer is. Just carrying a burden. It's just carrying a burden that God has laid upon you, that God can trust you with. Capstone to this men's conference. Brother Wilbanks could have entitled that message today, "The Man God Chose to Be a Prayer Warrior." So well, we need all this. Someone's got to support the church financially. Someone's got to work. Someone's got to do all of these things. Yeah, but if you're praying, you will do all those things. You can't treat people wrong you've wept over. You can't do things. You can't stay back from the church. If you're really praying, you will be involved in every aspect of the church you can be involved in. So prayer warriors, men aren't always to pray. Thank God for his word. Thank God for that touch. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, you feel the Holy Ghost? What can we do? What can we change? What can we cause to be affected with men going back and praying in the Holy Ghost? Come on, that's how the whole thing started in a prayer room. So, well, I read my Bible, I pay my tithe, I show up. But you really can't read your Bible without praying. Lots of people read the Bible, but it's praying in the Holy Ghost that opens up that ground, that seed can be planted to be fruitful. Thank God for men at work. Thank God for men that are faithful in their support. But thank God for men that pray in the Holy Ghost. Chief occupation. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. afternoon. Let's praise him for what he's done. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to say again one more time how honored we are for each and every one of you to be here. Again, this is not our conference. It's the conference of everybody collective, and we're thankful for you being here. Lord willing, if the Lord tarries. Now, I hope that there's not a men's conference next year, because I hope the Lord comes before then. But if he tarries, March 19th and 20th, 2027, Apostolic Men's Conference. And now, last year, we said would be our last time in this building. And if you drive by Eustick and Middleton, you'll find out why we did not have church in the new building. It's not done yet. Now, we could have had a men's work day with these 100-plus men. It would have been done, but our men are thankful for some time off this weekend. Are you thankful for all the effort that these men put in to make this conference happen? Praise God. Amen. Well, we want to thank you for being here. We honor you. Drive home safely. In fact, we're going to pray. It's a good thing to pray. In fact, I was told one time, Pastor, you want to pray about everything. You want to pray over everything. What kind of pastor would I be if I didn't want to pray over anything? Let's pray about that. I want to answer now. Well, if you want me to do what you won't do, I'm going to pray. So we're going to pray for everyone who's traveling home today, that they travel home safe. Have great church tomorrow. Have great revival. Baptize somebody in Jesus' name. Somebody get the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Savior, we thank you for this conference. We thank you for this meeting. We thank you for these good men. We ask you, Lord, that you'd keep your hand of safety and protection upon them as they travel home today. We ask you, Lord God, to bless their services tomorrow. Let them take home what they got from this meeting. Let them have fervent revival and prayer. See someone get the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. If you're going to do it tomorrow, let's just give the Lord praise one more time. He's worthy of the glory and the honor and the praise. We worship you, Savior. Amen. God richly bless you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Greet somebody on your way.